the turkey hop.
Boy, when you start,
you don't want to stop.
If you want to be slick,
we'll grab a
joint. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio, and the joint is jumping with Thanksgiving music. We're getting an early start on Thanksgiving today, and we are joined at this table by Jonathan Alsop, our wine guru and the founder of the Boston Wine School, and Amy Traverso, the senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine, and Corby Comer will be dropping in later for dessert. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Callie.
If you have questions about cooking, questions about what wine to serve, or if you want to share a favorite recipe, call us at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. You can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page. So let's start right off with you, Amy, because you've been doing a little twist on the traditional meal. So that would be turkey, and you all say stuffing.
I say dressing.
Thank you. That is correct, dressing, where I'm from. And green beans and all of that. And I was interested in that your twists are really quite a twist, but they don't seem to be hard to do.
No, they're really easy. My favorite way of cooking, because I love home cooking, and that's the kind of stuff I like to develop for Yankees readers. And I want all the recipes. A great recipe to me for a home cook is one that feels familiar, you know, feels within your sort of wheel, within your expertise, but has a fun twist, makes you experience a familiar dish a different way. So I took the green bean casserole. Now, for some people, green bean casserole is sacred. You don't touch it. Okay, so if that's fine, keep with your green bean casserole.
Right.
If there's no other option,
I don't touch it, no matter what.
Okay, yeah, well, that's my problem. I'm not a big fan. So, but what I love are green beans that you get at Chinese restaurants. The sort of soy, you know, the braised green beans. We always get them. They're delicious. So I thought, well, why not kind of combine the two? So I have a dish for a soy and maple glazed green bean with fried crispy shallots on top. So you still get the crispy onion on top, but you get a little bit of a fresh take on it. It makes it fun.
You know what? I have been reading more and more and hearing more and more over the last couple of years about people doing the stir fry with the green beans. For one thing, it's a little less caloric.
A lot healthier, but still big flavor.
Yes, big flavor. And everybody does like those green beans. And who doesn't like a crispy shallot, I have to say? It's pretty good. Let's just hit a couple of your other twists because people need to hear about it. You have a chestnut, apple, and pancetta dressing. Very good.
Mm. Well, I think a good dressing has to have certain elements. It has to have something oniony. It has to have something nutty, something sweet, something smoky or salty or kind of, frankly, bacony or sausagey. And so this dish has those notes. It's got the chestnuts, which are both sweet and nutty. It's got apple, and it's got the pancetta, which you can use bacon. I just thought pancetta had a fun flavor, and it's a little different. And you just take any kind of crusty sourdough type bread, and you've got some, for your liquid, you've got some cider and some stock, some broth. And you bake it all together, you get a really nice combination. Now, I heard you mention cornbread. I do love cornbread dressing best of all.
Absolutely.
You know, we've done cornbread dressing often at Yankee, so I felt this year I had to mix it up and use sort of a regular bread. But at home, I've got a skillet with cornbread that I made, and it's ready for Thursday.
Absolutely. When you are born and raised below the Mason-Dixon line, it begins and ends with cornbread.
Yes.
And it's delicious. But I want to hit your sweet potatoes, which I thought not only showed a twist on the dish, and I think also, by the way, that when people do twists on side dishes, sweet potatoes seem to be the one that they go right for to try to mix it up because people are sick of the marshmallows on top. I will never be, but okay. But this also brought to mind, however, the way that you've given it a twist. Our, meaning Americans, broadening tastes. We're much broader in our tastes from all around the world, and you've done the combination in this side dish. So explain to people what you've done.
Yes. Okay, so this is a chai-spiced sweet potato dish. So you make a lovely glaze with chai tea that you steep with some... So because if you think about it, the flavors we use in in Thanksgiving dishes are things like cinnamon and ginger and sometimes allspice. So you have, in chai, you have cinnamon and ginger and cardamom and pepper. They all go so well with sweet potatoes. So this dish, you just make a beautiful glaze with some chai tea, some brown sugar, a little extra spice, a little extra of the cinnamon, cardamom, and ginger, because you really want to bump up those flavors, some butter, and then you pour the glaze over the sweet potatoes, you roast them, and you sprinkle them with toasted pecans. So it's familiar, but it's a little bit different, a little exotic. And also, that black tea in your mix will keep you awake after eating the turkey.
Oh, that's
so
what you say.
So it'll keep people off your couch.
I don't think so, Amy. I'm speaking with Amy Traverso. She's a senior editor with Yankee Magazine. She's offering us Thanksgiving recipes with a twist. By the way, all of the recipes will be on our website, wgbhnews.org/BPR. That stands for Boston Public Radio. 877-301-8970 is our number, 877-301-8970. You want to speak to Amy about how she's twisted up your Thanksgiving recipes, or if you have a favorite recipe to share, or have a question about what to cook. In a minute, we're going to move over to our wine guru, Jonathan Alsop, but I got a few other questions for Amy on this meal. Now, you're dry curing your turkey. This is everybody's brining everything now.
Right.
And, you know, that's not to say it's not a good dish, but I just heard from somebody that if you brine the whole thing, you can get rubbery skin. And you're working against that with this dry cured turkey.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, to the issue of rubbery skin, if you are brining your turkey, have heart. All you have to do is about the night before you roast the turkey, take it out of the brine. So you have to work a little bit ahead of time because you still need to brine the turkey for 12 to 24 hours. So working backwards, you want that turkey to sit in the refrigerator uncovered for, say, 4 to 6 hours at least. You can do it overnight. And what that does is it dries out the skin so that you will get a beautiful crisp bird. But I like this method even better. It's called dry curing. And it's something that I learned about. I used to live out in California for a few years, and it hit big out there. There's a restaurant in San Francisco that I think you probably know, Jonathan, Zuni Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy Rogers,
too.
She's fabulous. So she really taught Americans in this generation to salt their meat ahead of time. And so the way she cooked her turkey was to salt it 2 or 3 days in advance. Russ Parsons at the LA Times kind of caught on to this and wrote an article about it. And this is sort of the popular method on the West Coast. And now it's coming east, and you're seeing more people here doing it. And so basically what you're doing, instead of putting it in a bucket with a bunch of water and salt, you're just putting that salt and spice right on the skin of the turkey. Now, this takes a little longer. It takes 2 to 3 days, so you would need to start this today.
You need to plan.
But it is really good. The problem with brining is wonderful. I still think brining is great. The one downside is that sometimes that breast will absorb so much water that it actually gets a little spongy. With dry curing or dry brining, they call either way is fine. You are basically, quote unquote, brining the turkey in its own juices. So initially that salt will pull some of the juices out of the bird, but then the juices will go back in and the salt will alter the protein structure of the breast meat so that it actually sort of retains water better, stays moister. And you can add, you know, spices and add flavor. We have a mixture of, rosemary and sage and mustard seeds and pepper and salt, and all those flavors will get right into the meat and it tastes so good.
Mmm, that sounds really good. Now, I have to say something that you twisted up on the gravy side. I think people could use this. I would like to use this.
You would. Oh,
yeah. Let me just say.
Honestly, I feel like if somebody's willing to try one different dish this Thanksgiving, then I've done my job.
I thought this is really interesting. Cider, sage, gravy.
Well, I'm a big fan of cider. I wrote a book about apples called The Apple Lover's Cookbook. And in the process of doing that, I started drinking cider. And I'm just crazy about it, especially living here in New England. There's a lot of really good cider being made. We were just discussing this in the green room. And so I would love to encourage people to use cider in their cooking more, because really it's not unlike cooking with wine, especially if you use a drier cider. It's a balance of acidity and sweetness depending on what you want, and that sweetness works so nicely with turkey. Those apple flavors are really delicious. So you use your turkey drippings, but instead of using a wine or just straight chicken stock, you use a combination of the chicken or turkey stock with a little bit of cider. And you can use really the cheap stuff you get, you know, Magners or Woodchuck. You can use that. And
we should be clear that this is hard cider.
Hard cider, mm-hmm.
Yes. That's the key.
Hard cider, thank you. A lot of hard cider makers hate that we call sweet, you know, it's apple juice, essentially, we call it cider because they feel like they should own the word cider. But yeah, so hard cider. So you can mix a little bit of that hard cider in there. It just gives like a little bit of a different flavor, a little more depth of flavor, a little tang and a little sweetness. And I really love it.
Well, I think this is something that could easily become a tradition with me because I'm going to try this. This sounds really wonderful. And I think even if you're having the traditional meal with no twists, this would be very interesting because people don't usually mess with, if they're able to make gravy, they're just so happy to make it well. They don't mess with it. But this might give you a little something, a little oomph to the meal. We are again at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We're talking turkey today, literally, cooking it. Questions about twisting up the recipe with Amy Traverso, who is the senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine. You can usually look at that magazine and want to eat the pages. It looks so good. Same here with Amy's recipes. All of her recipes will be on our website, wgbhnews.org/BPR. That's Boston Public Radio. All right. So we've sort of marched through Amy's twists, and now we got to come over to our wine guru, Jonathan Alsop, who is trying to confuse us all with his number one twist on Thanksgiving wine.
You know, first of all, Callie, this year at our house is going to be the best Thanksgiving ever. You know why?
Why?
Because we did it Sunday. We did it Sunday. One of the girls was in town with her girls. We had an early Thanksgiving. The leftovers are completely repurposed. The dishes are done. They're all put away. I'm just giddy beside myself that we are having no turkey whatsoever on Thanksgiving.
Well, that's why you've lost your wine mojo and are about to offer something that,
you know, this is, you know, we're a diverse nation with diverse traditions and diverse origins. There are a lot of different approaches to how you pair wine with a Thanksgiving turkey. And one thing that I would like to say to wine lovers, and I know this is, you know, heresy because, you know, the Boston Wine School, we're supposed to promote wine relentlessly. But after a while, don't you just say, wine lovers, give it a break, okay? Can we have one day a year where we are not obsessed with pairing food and wine? Can we not just enjoy ourselves and maybe, you know, cider?
Drink cider.
You know something? And I am loving this. In terms of like how we pair wine and food anyway, I mean, one of the ways that we do it is, you know, regionally and historically. And so I'm loving this hard cider idea with Thanksgiving turkey because I think it's potentially historically accurate. It's local, and you know, it just sort of takes the pressure off, you know, because there's no one sitting around losing their mind trying to think about what to pair with hard cider,
right?
You know?
And the bubbles cut through any richness in your meal. And cider, historically speaking, cider was once the most commonly consumed beverage in the United States. People drank in many places more cider than water because it was safer. And we're talking about hard cider because they didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have so hard cider has very rich American history.
I love this idea.
Yeah, well, you know, any bubbles that are cutting through richness at my dinner is going to be champagne.
That works too. Champagne is all purpose. You know, if you love it, you know, my attitude towards Thanksgiving is if you love it, drink it. And enjoy it. This is the message that we try to get out to people is that your taste is never wrong. And when we're doing something like this, usually with a lot of people, a lot of different tastes, just kick back. You know, take some of the pressure off. Now that being said,
we did
an event a few weeks ago at the wine school, which was a holiday wine pairing event. You know, we had pumpkin pie with Moscato, which was a great combination.
And Moscato is kind of a sweet wine.
Yeah, kind of a sweet sparkling, can be a sparkling Italian wine. Great with the pumpkin pie we had, and we got a boneless smoked turkey breast and tasted it with a few different wines, you know, the kind of wines that people always recommend that go with turkey. You know, it's like in the wine world, when we don't know what to say, we say Gewürztraminer, right? when someone says, hey, what's great with Malaysian food? We say Gewürztraminer. You know, it's just, no one knows what we're saying anyway. And so it's kind of an all-purpose answer.
Well, Gewürztraminer is pretty good, though, I got to say.
It is. I mean, it's a tasty. It's a grape. It's a German grape. It's a lot like Riesling. We tasted a lot of different things with this turkey breast. And I'm telling you, Riesling won in terms of being a really good pairing. And Riesling won, and particularly dry Riesling.
Really?
And by dry
Riesling... I would have thought sweet.
Well,
yes.
You know, Riesling even... So yeah, dry being the opposite, in wine speak, dry being the opposite of sweet. I mean, there's a whole range of different Rieslings. And even dry Riesling has a lot of fruitiness and almost ripeness that almost seems sweet, even if technically there's no sugar in the wine. And I brought something. You guys want to?
Yes,
would you like
please.
To taste a little
of
wine?
Course.
Yeah. Here, let's get a little wine sound effects. It's gonna be spectacular for the romance of this. Yeah. Screw cap.
That's
yeah.
one fun
You feeling
cap.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah. That screw cap is
Greece,
just
is that from the cap what? Trees that grow in Greece?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We're running out of that, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a dry Riesling from Washington State. This is called Kung Fu Girl.
Oh.
It's got a great, fantastic, modern, almost postmodern sort of label.
You know what I love is this is... clearly appeals to women without having lipstick or high-heeled shoes
yes,
on the label.
Yes, refreshing, yeah, or a tutu on it.
And I see that I'm looking at the price sticker, and I can't read it from here, wow. So you're going to yeah. tell me what the price is.
$10.99, $11.99. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not an expensive Riesling.
So nice.
It's made by a super talented winemaker from Washington State. His name is Charles Smith. Makes a lot of other great wines. And just, you know, this, in terms of something that really... You know, the combination of this with turkey creates something that's, just a little greater than just the sum of its parts. So this is what, in terms of people who are relentless about creating a turkey wine pairing, this is about as close as I've got to something that actually matches and pairs with turkey.
This is interesting because it's not buttery like Chardonnay's buttery, but it has like a rich kind of buttery aftertaste that would go so well with mashed potatoes, gravy, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's very round. It's very ripe. You know, it's not like edgy. You know, it's not like edgy or
challenging.
Or, yeah,
like
exactly.
Your Aunt Edna,
which you'll be taking a second drink to get to block her out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It doesn't have more alcohol. That's all. I just really want to apologize.
We are getting wine tips and wine heresy from Jonathan Alsop, founder of the Boston Wine School, who has just posited that one should just drink whatever you want. Mm. Don't worry about matching the wine. And yet, he has brought with him Kung Fu Girl Riesling Dry from Washington State, which is delicious and
really
an excellent pair with all Thanksgiving dishes. And that, Jonathan, for a lot of people who do want to pair wine, is the tough part about the Thanksgiving meal, as has just been described by Amy, is that it's all over the place. It's sometimes it's you know, it's sweet. It's not sweet in terms of foods that are part of the meal. It's got a sauce on it. It doesn't have a sauce on it. You know, this when people who pair wine, they want to try to match it to both the protein and the sauce and take all of that in consideration, it gets a little tough.
It does get tough. Yeah. And in terms of how long we have been working, I mean, when you think about, you know, Italian food and wine have been together for 5,000 years. You know, French food and wine have been together for 2,000 years. We've been working on this whole turkey and wine match for like the last 20 minutes. You know, we don't have a lot. You know, we just don't have a lot of historical experience with it. So we just do not, you know, we just do not have a lot of classics that go along with that. Now, another thing is, as we were talking about before, about how we like this cider being a local product and having some historical roots. Another thing that I like another way I like to approach this is to think of this as, you know, this is our American meal. This is our all-American holiday. So I like to recommend some all-American wines so that now we're not matching the food with the wine. We're matching the historical nature of the wine and, you know, beyond just kind of the regionality. So I like Zinfandel.
I like Zinfandel.
Red Zinfandel. I think it's extremely flexible.
That's only one kind of Zinfandel. I'm sorry.
Is it and it's red.
Well, there
in
is,
college.
There is the Zinfandel Rosé, which which people call white Zinfandel.
That is just a misnomer. Continue.
So Zinfandel I love, extremely flexible. For another approach to the turkey is, You know, just open up with both barrels and blow the thing out of the water. Okay, come on strong, right, with it. And there's a great grape. It's grown in California. It's grown other places as well, but principally California, called Petite Syrah. Mm-hmm. It's not Petite. It's not Syrah. I mean, it is. Where this name came from. Well, I mean, Syrah is one of its genetic parents, so that's where that comes from. But it is a huge, inky, intense, opaque, black wine, all American, Concannon, David Bruce. You know, these are all Concannon, David Bruce, Parducci, Bogle. Makes a really super affordable Petite Syrah, and I also like that as well. Just mow the thing down, you know. Let's not get subtle with this. Let's just kill this thing, shall we?
That'll come up after we have that conversation about. Let's talk about the election. Let's not pass the Petite Syrah.
Yeah, I can't talk politics with Petite Syrah in my mouth.
There you go. And I want to mention that Jonathan, you were with us in the recent days talking about Beaujolais Nouveau and how for a lot of Americans, even though that is not an American wine of this country that comes from France, that some Americans have taken to that as their Thanksgiving wine.
Also kind of a semi-traditional Thanksgiving pairing. Beaujolais Nouveau is what you might call a harvest wine. You know, it's made straight away after the harvest. I mean, you know, we're drinking the 2012 Beaujolais Nouveau right now. I mean, it was harvested in August, September. You know, we're drinking it within the same vintage year, which is quite unusual for wine. It's a celebration of the harvest. It's a kind of a way to close out that, you know, that this summer farming agricultural period and prepare ourselves for fall and winter and February, which is like super winter. But Beaujolais Nouveau, I mean, Beaujolais Nouveau is a nice match too, because the idea matches up nicely. And the wine is fruity and light. And, you know, you were talking about how you like in your dressing, you know, also a little bit of sweetness to it. And, you know, the Beaujolais Nouveau is not technically sweet, but it's extremely, extremely fruity. You know, cherry. Beaujolais Nouveau almost has kind of a cranberry kind of tartness to it. So I like that as well for Thanksgiving.
And you know, most of the wines that you recommend, which I just want to keep repeating so people don't feel like, oh, well, that's not something I can do, are very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
We will let you know if we're talking about something that's special occasion.
All of the wines that we've talked about so far are under $20.
Okay.
And some of them the Kung Fu Girl, way under $20. So, you know, we're living in a golden age of cheap wine right now. You don't have to spend $40, $50, $30, $70, $100 to get a tasty, tasty bottle of wine. So.
And then just back to re-emphasizing your idea of throwing caution to the wind, don't worry about matching, and focusing on American wines, we need to mention, because a lot of people are still surprised by this, wine is made in every state of the Union.
Yes.
And some excellent wines are made, and Washington State is one of the premier places that wine is made.
Washington State, Oregon.
Here in Massachusetts, we've got Westport Rivers Winery,
absolutely,
which makes great sparklers. Yes. That would be really nice.
And, love it.
And Truro Vineyards, which is just, you know, a 10-minute drive from Provincetown, which is where the Pilgrims first landed in Provincetown before they came on over to make their famous landing in Plymouth. So you know, you've got a nice regional, you know, geographic historical match going there too with Truro wines.
All right. Well, we're getting a head start on Thanksgiving thanks to Jonathan Alsop, founder of the Boston Wine School and our wine guru, and Amy Traverso, a senior editor with Yankee Magazine, who's offering us traditional Thanksgiving fare with a twist. We're continuing to talk about holiday food and drink, and you can join us at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I'm Callie Crossley. You're listening to 89.7 WGBH.
turkey hop.
Boy, when you start,
you don't want to stop.
If you want to be slick,
we'll grab a
joint. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio, and the joint is jumping with Thanksgiving music. We're getting an early start on Thanksgiving today, and we are joined at this table by Jonathan Alsop, our wine guru and the founder of the Boston Wine School, and Amy Traverso, the senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine, and Corby Kummer will be dropping in later for dessert. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Callie.
If you have questions about cooking, questions about what wine to serve, or if you want to share a favorite recipe, call us at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. You can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page. So let's start right off with you, Amy, because you've been doing a little twist on the traditional meal. So that would be turkey, and you all say stuffing.
I say dressing.
Thank you. That is correct. Dressing, where I'm from. And green beans and all of that. And I was interested in that your twists are really quite a twist, but they don't seem to be hard to do.
No, they're really easy. My favorite way of cooking, because I love home cooking, and that's the kind of stuff I like to develop for Yankees readers. And I want all the recipes. A great recipe to me for a home cook is one that feels familiar, you know, feels within your sort of wheel, within your expertise, but has a fun twist, makes you experience a familiar dish a different way. So I took the green bean casserole. Now, for some people, green bean casserole is sacred. You don't touch it. Okay, so if that's fine, keep with your green bean casserole. Right. If there's no other option,
I don't touch it, no matter what.
Okay, yeah, well, that's my problem. I'm not a big fan. So, but what I love are green beans that you get at Chinese restaurants. The sort of soy, you know, the braised green beans. We always get them. They're delicious. So I thought, well, why not kind of combine the two? So I have a dish for a soy and maple glazed green bean with fried crispy shallots on top. So you still get the crispy onion on top, but you get a little bit of a fresh take on it. Makes it fun.
You know what? I have been reading more and more and hearing more and more over the last couple of years about people doing the stir fry with the green beans. For one thing, it's a little less caloric.
And yes, I'm it's told. A lot healthier, yeah, yes. But still big flavor.
Yes, big yeah. flavor. And everybody does like those green beans. And who doesn't like a crispy shallot, I have to say? It's pretty good. Let's just hit a couple of your other twists because people need to hear about it. You have a chestnut, apple, and pancetta dressing. Very
yes.
good.
Mm. Well, I think a good dressing has to have certain elements. It has to have something oniony. It has to have something nutty, something sweet, something smoky or salty or kind of, frankly, bacony or sausagey. And so this dish has those notes. It's got the chestnuts, which are both sweet and nutty. It's got apple, and it's got the pancetta, which you can use bacon. I just thought pancetta had a fun flavor, and it's a little different. And you just take a crusty, any kind of crusty sourdough type bread, and you've got some, for your liquid, you've got some cider and some stock, some broth. And you bake it all together, you get a really nice combination. Now, I heard you mention cornbread. I do love cornbread dressing best of all.
Absolutely.
We've done cornbread dressing often at Yankee, so I felt this year I had to mix it up and use sort of a regular bread. But at home, I've got a skillet with cornbread that I made, and it's ready for Thursday.
Absolutely. When you are born and raised below the Mason-Dixon line, it begins and ends
yes.
with cornbread.
Yes.
And it's delicious. But I want to hit your sweet potatoes, which I thought not only showed a twist on the dish, and I think also, by the way, that when people do twists on side dishes, sweet potatoes seem to be the one that they go right for to try to mix it up because people are sick of the marshmallows on top. I will never be, but okay. But this also brought to mind, however, the way that you've given it a twist. Our, meaning Americans, broadening tastes. We're much broader in our tastes from all around the world, and you've done the combination in this side dish. So explain to people what you've done.
Yes. Okay, so this is a chai-spiced sweet potato dish. So you make a lovely glaze with chai tea that you steep with some... So because if you think about it, the flavors we use in Thanksgiving dishes are things like cinnamon and ginger and sometimes allspice. So you have, in chai, you have cinnamon and ginger and cardamom and pepper. They all go so well with sweet potatoes. So this dish, you just make a beautiful glaze with some chai tea, some brown sugar, a little extra spice, a little extra of the cinnamon, cardamom, and ginger, because you really want to bump up those flavors, some butter, and then you pour the glaze over the sweet potatoes, you roast them, and you sprinkle them with toasted pecans. So it's familiar, but it's a little bit different, a little exotic. And also, that black tea in your mix will keep you awake after eating the turkey.
Oh, that's
so
what you say.
So it'll keep people off your couch.
I don't think so, Amy. I'm speaking with Amy Traverso. She's a senior editor with Yankee Magazine. She's offering us Thanksgiving recipes with a twist. By the way, all of the recipes will be on our website, wgbhnews.org/BPR. That stands for Boston Public Radio. 877-301-8970 is our number, 877-301-8970. You want to speak to Amy about how she's twisted up your Thanksgiving recipes, or if you have a favorite recipe to share, or have a question about what to cook. In a minute, we're going to move over to our wine guru, Jonathan Alsop, but I got a few other questions for Amy on this meal. Now, you're dry curing your turkey. This is, everybody's brining everything now.
Right.
And, you know, that's not to say it's not a good dish, but I just heard from somebody that if you brine the whole thing, you can get rubbery skin, and you're working against that with this dry cured turkey.
Yeah, well, let me just say, to the issue of rubbery skin, if you are brining your turkey, have heart. All you have to do is about the night before you roast the turkey, take it out of the brine. So you have to work a little bit ahead of time because you still need to brine the turkey for 12 to 24 hours. So working backwards, you want that turkey to sit in the refrigerator uncovered for, say, 4 to 6 hours at least. You can do it overnight. And what that does is it dries out the skin so that you will get a beautiful crisp bird. But I like this method even better. It's called dry curing. And it's something that I learned about. I used to live out in California for a few years, and it hit big out there. There's a restaurant in San Francisco that I think you probably know, Jonathan, Zuni Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy Rogers,
too.
She's fabulous. So she really taught Americans in this generation to salt their meat ahead of time. And so the way she cooked her turkey was to salt it 2 or 3 days in advance. Russ Parsons at the LA Times kind of caught on to this and wrote an article about it. And this is sort of the popular method on the West Coast. And now it's coming east, and you're seeing more people here doing it. And so basically what you're doing, instead of putting it in a bucket with a bunch of water and salt, you're just putting that salt and spice right on the skin of the turkey. Now, this takes a little longer. It takes 2 to 3 days, so you would need to start this today.
You need to plan.
But it is really good. The problem with brining is wonderful. I still think brining is great. The one downside is that sometimes that breast will absorb so much water that it actually gets a little spongy. With dry curing or dry brining, they call either way is fine. You are basically, quote unquote, brining the turkey in its own juices. So initially that salt will pull some of the juices out of the bird, but then the juices will go back in, and the salt will alter the protein structure of the breast meat so that it actually sort of retains water better, stays moister. And you can add, you know, spices and add flavor. We have a mixture of rosemary and sage and mustard seeds and pepper and salt, and all those flavors will get right into the meat, and it tastes so good.
That sounds really good. Now, I have to say something that you twisted up on the gravy side. I think people could use this. I would like to use this.
You would. Oh,
yeah. Let me just say.
Honestly, I feel like if somebody's willing to try one different dish this Thanksgiving, then I've done my job.
I thought this is really interesting. Cider sage gravy.
Well, I'm a big fan of cider. I wrote a book about apples called The Apple Lover's Cookbook. And in the process of doing that, I started drinking cider. And I'm just crazy about it, especially living here in New England. There's a lot of really good cider being made. We were just discussing this in the green room. And so I would love to encourage people to use cider in their cooking more, because really it's not unlike cooking with wine, especially if you use a drier cider. It's a balance of acidity and sweetness depending on what you want, and that sweetness works so nicely with turkey. Those apple flavors are really delicious. So you use your turkey drippings, but instead of using a wine or just straight chicken stock, you use a combination of the chicken or turkey stock with a little bit of cider. And you can use really the cheap stuff you get, you know, Magners or Woodchuck. You can use that. And you just...
We should be clear that this is hard cider.
Hard cider, mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the key.
Hard cider, thank you. A lot of hard cider makers hate that we call sweet, you know, it's apple juice, essentially, we call it cider, because they feel like they should own the word cider. But yeah, so hard cider. So you can mix a little bit of that hard cider in there. It just gives like a little bit of a different flavor, a little more depth of flavor, a little tang and a little sweetness. And I really love it.
Well, I think this is something that could easily become a tradition with me, because I'm going to try this. This sounds really wonderful. And I think even if you're having the traditional meal with no twists, this would be very interesting, because people don't usually mess with, if they're able to make gravy, they're just so happy to make it well. They don't mess with it. But this might give you a little something, a little oomph to the meal. We are again at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We're talking turkey today, literally, cooking it. Questions about twisting up the recipe with Amy Traverso, who is the senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine. You can usually look at that magazine and want to eat the pages. It looks so good. Same here with Amy's recipes. All of her recipes will be on our website, wgbhnews.org/BPR. That's Boston Public Radio. All right. So we've sort of marched through Amy's twists, and now we got to come over to our wine guru, Jonathan Alsop. Who is trying to confuse us all with his number one twist on Thanksgiving wine.
You know, first of all, Callie, this year at our house is going to be the best Thanksgiving ever. You know why?
Why?
Because we did it Sunday. We did it Sunday. One of the girls was in town with her girls. We had an early Thanksgiving. The leftovers are completely repurposed. The dishes are done. They're all put away. I'm just giddy beside myself that we are having no turkey whatsoever on Thanksgiving.
Well, that's why you've lost your wine mojo and are about to offer something that,
we're a diverse nation with diverse traditions and diverse origins. There are a lot of different approaches to how you pair wine with a Thanksgiving turkey. And one thing that I would like to say to wine lovers, and I know this is, you know, heresy because, you know, the Boston Wine School, we're supposed to promote wine relentlessly, but after a while, don't you just say, wine lovers, give it a break, okay? Can we have one day a year where we are not obsessed with pairing food and wine? Can we not just enjoy ourselves and maybe, you know, cider?
Drink cider.
You know something? And I am loving this. In terms of like how we pair wine and food anyway, I mean, one of the ways that we do it is, you know, regionally and historically. And so I'm loving this hard cider idea with Thanksgiving turkey, because I think it's potentially historically accurate. It's local, and you know, it just sort of takes the pressure off, you know, because there's no one sitting around losing their mind trying to think about what to pair with hard cider,
right?
You know?
And the bubbles cut through any richness in your mm-hmm. meal. And cider, historically speaking, cider was once the most commonly consumed beverage in the United States. It was, people drank in many places more cider than water because it was safer. And we're talking about hard cider because they didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have so hard cider has very rich American history.
I love this idea.
Yeah, well, you know, any bubbles that are cutting through richness at my dinner is going to be champagne.
That works too. Champagne is all purpose. You know, if you love it, you know, my attitude towards Thanksgiving is if you love it, drink it. And enjoy it. This is the message that we try to get out to people, is that your taste is never wrong. And when we're doing something like this, usually with a lot of people, a lot of different tastes, just kick back. You know, take some of the pressure off. Now that being said,
yes,
we did an event a few weeks ago at the wine school, which was a holiday wine pairing event. You know, we had pumpkin pie with Moscato, which was a great combination.
And Moscato is kind of a sweet wine.
Yeah, kind of a sweet sparkling, can be a sparkling Italian wine. Great with the pumpkin pie we had, and we got a boneless smoked turkey breast and tasted it with a few different wines, you know, the kind of wines that people always recommend that go with turkey. You know, when you, it's like in the wine world, when we can't, when we don't know what to say, we say Gewürztraminer, right? when someone says, "Hey, what's great with Malaysian food?" We say Gewürztraminer. You know, it's just, no one knows what we're saying anyway, and so it's kind of an all-purpose answer.
Well, Gewürztraminer is pretty good, though. I gotta say,
it is. I mean, it's a tasty. It's a grape. It's a German grape. It's a lot like Riesling. We tasted a lot of different things with this turkey breast, and I'm telling you, Riesling won. In terms of being a really good pairing. And Riesling won, and particularly dry Riesling.
Really?
And by dry
Riesling... I would have thought sweet.
Well,
yes.
You know, Riesling, yeah. Even... So yeah, dry being the opposite, in wine speak, dry being the opposite of sweet. I mean, there's a whole range of different Rieslings. And even dry Riesling has a lot of fruitiness and almost ripeness that almost seems sweet, even if technically there's no sugar in the wine. And I brought something. You guys want to?
Yes,
would you like
please.
To taste a little
of
wine?
Course.
Yeah. Here, let's get a little wine sound effects. It's gonna be spectacular for the romance of this. Yeah. Screw cap.
That's
yeah.
one fine
You feeling
cap.
Me?
Yeah. That's cap.
Greece, is that from the cap trees that grow in Greece?
Yes. Yeah, yes. We're running out of that, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a dry Riesling from Washington State. This is called Kung Fu Girl.
Oh.
It's got a great, fantastic, modern, almost postmodern sort of label.
You know what I love is this is... clearly appeals to women without having lipstick or high-heeled shoes
yes,
on the label.
Yes, refreshing, yeah, or a tutu on it.
And I see that I'm looking at the price sticker, and I can't read it from here,
wow.
So you're going to tell me what the price is.
$10.99, $11.99. Mm. I mean, it's not an expensive Riesling.
So nice.
It's made by a super talented winemaker from Washington State. His name is Charles Smith. Makes a lot of other great wines. And this, in terms of something that really... You know, the combination of this with turkey creates something that's, just a little greater than just the sum of its parts. So this is what, in terms of people who are relentless about creating a turkey wine pairing, this is about as close as I've got to something that actually matches and pairs with turkey.
This is interesting because it's not buttery like Chardonnay's buttery, but it has like a rich kind of buttery aftertaste that would go so well with mashed potatoes, gravy, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's very round. It's very ripe. You know,
it's
not like edgy. You know, it's not like edgy or
challenging.
Or, yeah,
like
exactly.
Like your Aunt Edna,
which you'll be taking a second drink to get to block her out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It doesn't have more alcohol. That's all. I just really want to apologize to everyone for that.
We are getting wine tips and wine heresy from Jonathan Alsop, founder of the Boston Wine School, who has just posited that one should just drink whatever you want. Mm. Don't worry about matching the wine. And yet, he has brought with him Kung Fu Girl Riesling Dry from Washington State, which is delicious and
really
an excellent pair with all Thanksgiving dishes. And that, Jonathan, for a lot of people who do want to pair wine, is the tough part about the Thanksgiving meal, as has just been described by Amy, is that it's all over the place. It's sometimes sweet. It's not sweet in terms of foods that are part of the meal. It's got a sauce on it. It doesn't have a sauce on it. You know, this when people who pair wine, they want to try to match it to both the protein and the sauce and all take all of that in consider, it gets a little tough.
It does get tough. Yeah. And in terms of how long we have been working, I mean, when you think about, you know, Italian food and wine have been together for 5,000 years. You know, French food and wine have been together for 2,000 years. We've been working on this whole turkey and wine match for like the last 20 minutes. You know, we just don't have a lot of historical experience with it, so we just do not have a lot of classics that go along with that. Now, another thing is, as we were talking about before, about how we like this cider being a local product and having some historical roots. Another thing that I like another way I like to approach this is to think of this as, you know, this is our American meal. This is our all-American holiday. So I like to recommend some all-American wines so that now we're not matching the food with the wine. We're matching the historical nature of the wine and, you know, beyond just kind of the regionality. So I like Zinfandel.
I love Zinfandel.
Zinfandel, red Zinfandel. I think it's extremely flexible.
That's only one kind of Zinfandel. I'm sorry.
Is it red? Unless you're in college.
There is the Zinfandel rosé, which people call white Zinfandel.
That is just a misnomer. Continue.
So Zinfandel I love, extremely flexible. For another approach to the turkey is, you know, just open up with both barrels and blow the thing out of the water. Okay, come on strong, right, with it. And there's a great grape, it's grown in California, it's grown other places as well, but principally California, called Petit Syrah. Mm-hmm. It's not Petit, it's not Syrah. I mean, it is, where this name came from. Well, I mean, Syrah is one of its genetic parents, so that's where that comes from. But it is a huge, inky, intense, opaque, black wine, all American, Concannon, David Bruce. You know, these are all Concannon, David Bruce, Parducci, Bogle makes a really super affordable Petite Syrah. And I also like that as well. Just mow the thing down. You know, don't, let's not get subtle with this. Let's just kill this thing, shall we?
That'll come up after we have that conversation about, let's talk about the election. Let's not pass Syrah.
Yeah, I can't talk politics with Petite Syrah in my mouth.
There you go. And I want to mention that, Jonathan, you were with us in the recent days talking about Beaujolais Nouveau and how for a lot of Americans, even though that is not an American wine of this country that comes from France, that some Americans have taken to that as their Thanksgiving wine.
Also kind of a semi-traditional Thanksgiving pairing. Beaujolais Nouveau is what you might call a harvest wine. You know, it's made straight away after the harvest. I mean, you know, we're drinking the 2012 Beaujolais Nouveau right now. I mean, it was harvested in August, September. You know, we're drinking it within the same vintage year, which is quite unusual for wine. It's a celebration of the harvest. It's a you know, kind of a way to close out that, you know, that this summer farming agricultural period and prepare ourselves for fall and winter and February, which is like super winter. But Beaujolais Nouveau, I mean, Beaujolais Nouveau is a nice match too, because the idea matches up nicely. And the wine is fruity and light. And, you know, you were talking about how you like in your dressing, you know, also a little bit of sweetness to it. And, you know, the Beaujolais Nouveau is not technically sweet, but it's extremely, extremely fruity. You know, cherry. Beaujolais Nouveau almost has kind of a cranberry kind of tartness to it. So I like, you know, I like that as well for Thanksgiving.
And you know, most of the wines that you recommend, which I just want to keep repeating so people don't feel like, oh, well, that's not something I can do, are very reasonably priced. Yeah. We will let you know if we're talking about something that's special occasion.
No. All of the wines, I mean, all of the wines that we've talked about so far are under $20.
Okay.
And some of them the Kung Fu Girl, way under $20. So, you know, we're living in a golden age of cheap wine right now. You don't have to spend $40, $50, $30, $70, $100 to get a tasty, tasty bottle of wine. So.
And then just back to re-emphasizing your idea of throwing caution to the wind, don't worry about matching, and focusing on American wines, we need to mention, because a lot of people are still surprised by this, wine is made in every state of the Union.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And some excellent wines are made, and Washington State is one of the premier places that wine is made.
Washington State, Oregon.
Here in Massachusetts, we've got Westport Rivers Winery, which makes great sparklers. Yes. That would be really nice.
And, love it.
And Truro Vineyards, which is just, you know, a 10-minute drive from Provincetown, which is where the Pilgrims first landed in Provincetown before they came on over to make their famous landing in Plymouth. So you know, you've got a nice regional, you know, geographic historical match going there too with Truro wines.
All right. Well, we're getting a head start on Thanksgiving thanks to Jonathan Alsop, founder of the Boston Wine School and our wine guru, and Amy Traverso, a senior editor with Yankee Magazine, who's offering us traditional Thanksgiving fare with a twist. We're continuing to talk about holiday food and drink, and you can join us at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I'm Callie Crossley. You're listening to 89.7 WGBH. Thank you.